Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Welcome back, my dear podcasters. I hope you guys are doing well and ready to move on to the next class in this hypertension class. So let's get right into it. Today we'll be talking about the calcium channel blockers, or sometimes you'll see them called CCBs, you know how we like to shorten things. And simply put, they work by preventing calcium from entering. Entering what? In this case, entering the heart. But I know what you're thinking. How in the world did this discoverer scientist even figure out that calcium was in the mix of making my heart work? I know. I wonder the same thing. And my conclusion is that they're really, really, really smart. However, I've jumped too far into the story, so let's back up. And remember that our bodies are made of many cells. And when these cells grow up, they tend to specialize. Well, the ones that we'll be talking particularly about today, when they grew up, they became myocytes. And myocytes is just a fancy way of saying cardiac muscle cells. So we are staying up in the heart, and there's some cardiac muscle cells that are there, and we call them myocytes. So on a normal working day in your heart, the myocytes are vital in how your heart works. So remember, blood comes from the body and gets into the heart. The heart receives it, then the heart pushes it, the blood into the lungs where it gets oxygenated, then it comes back into the heart, and then the heart pushes this blood back to the body to go and do its work. So all this work needs the heart muscles, meaning those cells called myocytes are necessary. All this hard work has to be done by somebody, right? So now, to increase the force of the heart contraction, you know, remember that time when the heart is squeezing out so that the blood can get into your body? The myocytes, their active ingredient, or what they are needing to do this work, is calcium. So the higher the amount of calcium, the bigger the contraction is going to be. So how the myocytes work and how much calcium is around, there's a direct proportion. So let me say it again. Calcium goes up and the contraction force goes up. And again, another example I'll give is when your heart has lots of blood that needs to be pumped out, well, the myocytes need a forceful contraction to be able to get that blood out. And for that contraction to be forceful, we need lots of calcium to make this happen. Another way of saying it is that calcium is the link or the messenger between the electrical signals that are in your heart, because remember, there's electricity that goes on in your heart, and the myocytes. Okay, so now that's how calcium is playing around on a normal working day in my heart. So here we have hypertension, which is basically a condition where the blood vessels that are carrying this blood, and when it's pumped out, they have persistently raised pressure. So now this pressure is created by the force against the walls of the blood vessels as the blood is pumped by the heart. All right, let me say it again, because, you know, we need to be clear. The pressure that is needed that is on the vessels or that is pushing this blood out, that is being pumped by the heart, when it's consistently high, we call that hypertension or high blood pressure. And the higher that pressure, the harder the heart has to work or to pump. So that's a problem we have. And that's why we're having this calcium channel blockers to try and solve this problem of you having a persistently raised pressure. And when it is raised and it is persistent, then your heart is working a lot harder. And you can imagine, then we have a lot of calcium going on in your heart, right? Okay, so now let's plug in the drugs. Calcium channel blockers are often classified into two major categories according to how they work, according to their physiological effect. There is the dihydropyridines and the non-dihydropyridines. Let's start with the dihydros. They are vasodilators. Vasodilation is a fancy way of saying we are opening the blood vessel to make it bigger, to dilate it, because, you know, if it's because they are usually constricted in high blood pressure, all right? So dihydropyridines are vasodilators. So they take the blood vessels and make them bigger, all right? With limited chronotropic and inotropic effects. I know I got all the hard words today. Chronotropic is a fancy way of saying heart rate. And inotropic is a fancy way of saying contraction. So these dihydropyridines, they majorly work to make the vessels bigger, but very little effect on the heart in as far as the rate and the contraction. So the drugs that are considered dihydropyridines, they all end with the word pin, okay? So there's amlodipine, nicardipine, nifedipine, esradipine, felodipine, lacidipine, levlamlodipine, nizlodipine. I must say there are some of these drugs, I don't think I've ever dispensed them whatsoever or even seen them written anywhere. But they exist, all right? I think the ones I'm familiar with mostly are that amlodipine, nicardipine, nifedipine, felodipine. Yeah, those ones I see quite a bit, right? So again, these pins, then dihydropyridines, they are potent vasodilators with little or no negative effect on how your heart, on your heart's or the cardiac contractility or conduction. All right. They're just making the vessels bigger so that as that blood is being pumped out, the pressure goes down because now we have bigger space for the blood to go through. All right. On the other hand, we have the non-dihydropyridines. So if there are none, that means the vasodilation from these drugs is not that much. So they are less potent when it comes to vasodilation. So how are they helping, as you wonder? They work by blocking the calcium channels that are present in your heart muscles. And of course, remember the cells and myocytes. And they reduce that influx of calcium into the myocytes. And this leads to a decrease in the heart rate and contractions of the heart muscle. So these ones have a huge effect on the chronotropic and inotropic effects of the heart, you know, the contractions and the rate. So these ones will slow cardiac contractility and conduction. And the drugs that you'll find here, the ones, remember, these ones do not end in pain, okay? This is a good way to remember this, right? Anything that ends in pin is going to do more vasodilation. And the ones that are told they're calcium channel blockers and they don't end in pin, they have more to do with the heart rate and the heart contraction. So the ones here are verapamil and diltiazem, okay? So they work mainly on the heart with less effect on the blood vessels, right? Okay, so now that we are clear on the dihydro and the non-dihydro, let's look at the kinetics and the side effects of these drugs. So as a class, they are very well absorbed. However, they have a low bioavailability. Remember, bioavailability is the amount that actually does the work, right? And the reason why the bioavailability is low is because they have the hepatic fast-pass metabolism. Primarily by CYP3A4. I know you're thinking a mouthful. All right, let's break it down. Hepatic first pass metabolism. That means the drug gets absorbed, and for it to be metabolized so that we can get the active ingredient, it goes through the liver. when it goes through the liver, the amount of drug, so you put in 20 milligrams and the amount of drug that actually ends up working is 10 because it got metabolized completely when it went through the heart. And the primary person that is doing all this gobbling up of my drug is an enzyme, CYP3A4. I am sure you've come across this a lot. It's one of the hepatic enzymes. And I'm also hoping that when you hear me say CYP3A4, you're also thinking, ding, 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 drug-drug interactions, because CYP3A4 is a pretty popular enzyme when it comes to metabolism, all right? So I hope you're thinking, ding, 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 what? Drug-drug interactions. So that's the metabolism. They've been absorbed. Now, they are renally excreted. And renal, I hope you're thinking kidney. So therefore, if the liver and the kidneys are at play in making sure this calcium channel blockers work, then that means that if you have a patient that has either liver or kidney or both impairments, then you should use the calcium channel blockers cautiously and consider starting at a lower dose. That way, then you can titrate up for those who have liver and kidney impairments. All right. So that's the kinetics. And then there's the adverse effects. Let's start with the, which one should I start with? Let me start with what? The non-dihydros, okay? So the non-dihydros, what you will see with them is constipation, tiredness, gingival hyperplasia. I'm sure my dental friends are very happy with this. So gingival hyperplasia is a fancy way of saying there is overgrowth of gum tissue around the teeth. So you can see when your patient comes in and they've just been started or on calcium channel blockers, especially the 9-dihydros, which are the verapamil and diltiazem. These are the things to look out for. Additionally, remember the 9-dihydros, they are playing more of a role on the rate of your heart and the contraction, remember? So they can then further reduce contractility of the heart. They can worsen cardiac output. They can cause bradycardia because they slow the contractility of the heart and the conduction of the electricity. Because remember, their work is less vasodilation and more to do with the chronotropic and inotropic effects of the heart. Therefore, they are contraindicated in those patients that have heart failure that has a reduced ejection fraction, or those who the electricity that works in the heart, some of the nodes are blocked. So if already your patient has a problem with chronotropic and inotropic effects, if your patient already has issues with how the electricity goes around in your heart, this is probably not the drug to give them for their hypertension. All right, because it's going to make it worse. Then there's the dihydros. Those were the non-dihydros. And remember, the dihydros are the ones that end in pin. So they can cause lightheadedness. They can cause flushing. They can cause headaches. And peripheral edema that will look like their ankles are swelling or their feet are swelling or their hands are swelling. And this makes sense. Why? What do they do mostly, these dihydros? They are more to do with vasodilation. So the vessels are bigger, so they can be able to have more blood going through and less effects on the heart. So I hope this calcium channel blockers has made sense in breaking it down and being able to anticipate what the side effects are and also being able to know what to check on the subsequent visits from your patients and to equip them with knowledge so that they don't stop taking their medications saying, oh my goodness, this drug is making me have swollen ankles and swollen feet. This too shall pass, all right? Because remember, as much as we are blocking these channels, eventually it gets to a steady state, all right? And there you have it, my curious podcasters, the end of the calcium channel blockers. I hope you're enjoying this and tune in for the next class. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
I am Dr. Wamboi, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drag Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.